Welcome back. You're here with David Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Faisal, change is inevitable throughout life. And when we go in, you know, from work to retirement, when you start thinking about it and when you actually go through it, it's a point of change. And that change can often create anxiety and stress and uncertainty.
So let me paint the picture of some of the most common conversations we have with viewers and listeners of the show, with our clients. Let's paint the picture. Mm. We have an individual or a couple that are planning on retiring a few years out. They know that they're working right now. They know they have a date in mind of when they want to call retirement, but they really don't know what retirement's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And that transition, that change can be scary.
Yep.
It requires thought. Some people like to, I call, hedge their bets. Mm-hmm. They like to transition to what we call retirement, but still have use the word anchor to what they have been for. Consultants in this city are huge for this. Yep. I'm going to reduce the number of hours. I just want to be engaged, but still kind of anchor to that work life.
Yep.
And then I want to have retirement. I kind of want to have the best of both worlds. Yep. And it's hard to have that kind of transition or change if that does come up.
Yep.
And so let's talk about resiliency and let's talk about change and let's talk about the fear of all this. But we you and I can't just do this alone. We need an expert, of course.
That's right. We do. So we've got Dr. Robin Hanley DeFoe, an educator, an author, and a resiliency expert. Robin, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. So I think we've done a decent setup there, at least in our understanding of change and the anxiety. So we're going to throw it to you right away. As people are thinking about this point in time of retirement, which is a change, a big change for many people, it does create those emotions around anxiety. And I imagine there's, you know, you've got some thoughts being a sort of a change in a resiliency expert about what we might want to be aware of as we're going through this.
Yeah, excellent question. So I think the reality is to acknowledge that any change season or any type of a transition by the very nature is going to make people feel a wee bit wobbly, make people feel like not quite sure. Again, that uncertainty starts to become more apparent. And what's really, I think, important to recognize is that that is a normal response to any type of a change because we haven't done this before. We almost go back to a rookie status of like, hey, we haven't done this before. I don't know what this is going to look like. And the reason it's almost as if our bodies and our minds go on high alert is because change forces us to pay attention. It lets us know, hey, this is going to be different. We don't know all the rules. We don't know what this is going to look like. We don't have habits, patterns, and routines yet. So what it wants you to do is it give you your full attention. And where we see people actually struggle more is when they try to ignore some of those anxieties. They just think that they can outthink it and they don't put any efforts there versus holding space to recognize this uneasiness is actually my body letting me know that this is important, pay attention, and let's get to planning.
So Robin, there's some clients and people that we speak to that can crush this. They've gone to the transition, they've got it, it's very second nature to them. Then there's other ones, whoo, girl, there's a whole bunch of problems with these individuals. What are some of the traits that someone needs to have in order for them to be quote unquote resilient?
One of the things that I would say when you see somebody who seems to be able to do it effortlessly or with ease, they have done a lot of things building up to that moment. So that way they are well equipped. They have good capacity. Now, usually, especially when we're talking about professional practice, one of the biggest ones is they see themselves outside of their identity of the job that they do or how they serve. So they're a person who happens to be an accountant. They're a person who happens to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever the role. An educator, healthcare provider. They see themselves as a person first who does a particular form of service, some type of professional practice. When we have that reversed, it's like when you introduce somebody and the first thing they do is they tell you they're a dentist. It's great. I want to know what else is about you. So again, just recognizing where we anchor that sense of security and identity. So first one is that idea of being that person who does something. We would argue that those are people who transition because there's more room in their identity or the definition of who they are and what they're all about. The other is that they often have a really strong home team. It's home base of persons who, again, help them see themselves as more of just this one particular role. And again, when people transition out of those identity places, that's where we start to see like they experience some friction.
Mm-hmm. Robin, anecdotally in our practice, Dave, you can probably confirm on this one. Generally, it's the male clients of ours that have a bigger challenge. Our female clients, not as much of a challenge. And is the empirical data match our anecdotal data that we have in our office?
Yes. Yeah, we would see that across the board. And we do know that women, we have seen, again, there is research that shows that they tend to be a wee bit more flexible and more adaptable to change, given that they are always in this kind of place of change seasons as they go through their professional careers. They've been able to multitask versus a lot of persons, unfortunately, will monotask or will only see themselves as, you know, this is who I am and this is what I do, and don't actually carry some of the invisible labor that happens when you hold roles outside of your professional practice, which we know women tend to be the persons who hold a lot of the emotional labor and the invisible labor in their family systems and communities.
I like that word, invisible labor.
Yeah. And Robin's saying exactly what we've seen, right? And women tend to have relationships and social connections outside of work. Men get so invested in their work and their identity and everything is tied to that, that when it goes, right, it's like Robin is saying, there's nothing, I'm not a person, I am this, right? It's not a full person. That's very interesting. I am curious, though, see if we can help our male listeners. So can it actually be learned?
Absolutely. That's what's really remarkable about the human spirit and the human condition is that we are very adaptable. And often when people say things to me like, oh, Robin, change is scary, what I actually think is more scary is not changing. Like, could you imagine being stuck in time and you aren't able to have any agency to reinvent yourself, to reimagine what's possible? So absolutely, when we practice what we call that nimble thinking versus that brittle thinking, it's a starting point to start seeing ourselves as our ability to contribute beyond just our professional roles. And we can do that by, again, essentially like walking into that unknown and getting really curious about like, what are things that I find of interest? What are those hobbies? What are those activities? How can I find myself in these different places and spaces? And one of the transitional tools that I find really helpful, especially working with, again, the male population as they're going into retirement is opportunities to give back, ways of being of service, being able to be in the role of a mentor. So you can stay kind of that foot in the door within the professional practice that is familiar to you, but you're doing it in such a way about giving people, you know, your hard-earned wisdom also starts to help create conversation and seeing what's possible outside of the traditional roles.
Robin, we have about a minute or so left before we have to go to break. Let's give all of our listeners and viewers top three tips Robin has to be more resilient as you go through this transition.
Number one is cope ahead of time. Okay. So making sure that you cope ahead of time. Don't wait for it to happen and then try to recover. So make a plan. We always feel better when we have a plan. Even if the plan changes, having a plan is going to make us feel a lot better in that. So cope ahead of time. Number two is you're not alone. Actually have conversations with people in similar seasons, maybe 2 years ahead of you, 2 years behind you, and start just having those conversations. Be like, hey, what was this experience like from you? People love to talk about themselves. So getting people to talk about themselves, to tell them like, hey, this is how I stick handled it. And this is what worked, what didn't work. So tap into the resources around you. And the third one is just like, it's just a decision at a time. We don't have to figure out the entire staircase. It's just the first step. So you don't have to figure out what are my next, you know, 30 years going to look like, 40 years going to look like. Literally, what is important in this quarter that I need to do to be successful personally and professionally so I can transition with a relative degree of ease.
Three solid ideas right there.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Robin Hanley Defoe, educator, author, and resiliency expert. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Take good care.
Okay.
Hey, that was a good piece, right?
And key points.
She brought up some terrific points about having a plan, right? Cope ahead of time. You got to have an idea of what you're transitioning, not just away from, but into, right? Doesn't have to be the whole 30 years.
Yeah.
But it has to be at least a starting point.
I got goosebumps. We said have a plan, because what we talk about is having a plan and a strategy so you can grow through retirement, not just from a financial perspective, but from a non-financial perspective. And we're going to talk about that at our next two seminars, one in Calgary, March 5th, Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn, one on March 19th in Lethbridge at the Sandman Hotel. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. Many people dream of retiring overseas or internationally. Stick around after the break. We've got your top 10 destinations for 2024. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.